This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. Do you have a diet? Do you stick to a particular plan? Did you hear from it online, from a friend? Well, we're talking about diets this morning and Australia's relationship with dieting. I'm joined by Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist, director of Optimum Exercise Physiology. Claire, Lisa, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Jordan. How are you going?
Not too bad at the moment. And I don't know if I have a particular diet. I'm vegan myself, so I guess I restrict what I eat in that sense, but it doesn't necessarily mean I have to eat healthy. What kind of diets are there in Australia and how are we dealing with them?
Yeah, well, so we know that 2/3 of the Australian population are either overweight or obese, so 30% overweight, 30% obese. And although they're not all trying to lose weight, many are. And there are some interesting statistics around it. So for people who offer dieters and people who are trying to lose weight, it's estimated that they spend half of their life or more dieting and that many try over 61 different diets by the time they're 45, with some trying 4 to 5 different diets each year.
Wow.
So you've only got to look at Facebook and Instagram and read the magazines to see that it's become a bit of a cultural obsession, dieting and all the different types of diets that are out there. Yeah, and so we know that both exercise and nutrition play a part in losing weight, and the research says that modifying your diet and undertaking exercise is going to get you the best results for long-term weight loss. And we've spoken, obviously, a lot about exercise component of it before, but I thought today we'd chat about a little bit about the nutrition side of weight loss and look at what the research says about diet.
So what are some of the worst diets then that people are trying to stick to?
Yeah, so they're not doing it in Australia as yet. The researchers are planning on doing it. But in the US, each year the US News and World Report have a panel of experts that evaluate modern and popular diets. So basically they rate them out of 5 in terms of their success for short-term weight loss, for achieving long-term weight loss, and then also how healthy they are in terms of nutritional value. And so I don't know whether you've heard of this one. It's a bit new to me. But number one worst diet was the Dukkan diet, which is a strict high-protein diet, low-carb diet. Number two came in at the keto diet. So you've probably heard of that quite a bit around, particularly on social media. That's high-fat, low-carb. And then number three was the GAPS diet. So that's all around gut and the psychology syndrome diet that eliminates hard-to-digest foods. So I haven't really heard of that one too much, but it was interesting to me that the keto diet was ranked in one of the three worst diets out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, keto is one of the more popular ones as far as I know. It's the one on that list I've heard of.
Yeah, very, very low-carb diet.
I guess why does keto rate so low then?
Well, it's because it is so strict. So it's very difficult for people to maintain that strict low-carb diet. So therefore, the long-term weight loss for them, they might be able to lose weight quickly, but then long-term, 6 months, 12 months down the track, they just can't maintain it.
I guess carbs, as far as I know, are what we use for energy as well when we are exercising.
Yeah, correct. So we need to make sure that we have a balanced eating plan. So when it comes to the top three diets, the ones that come out in the top three were the Mediterranean diet. So that's more of an eating pattern, not a structured diet. And the Harvard School of Public Health and the World Health Organization have developed a Mediterranean diet pyramid. And basically that's a pyramid that emphasizes fruits, veggies, whole grains, beans, nuts, legumes, olive oil, and flavored herbs.
I was going to say olive oil, yes.
Yeah, along with fish and seafood being a high component or a couple of times a week of those, and then your poultry and eggs, etc. And they also encourage physical activity. So it's just a well-rounded one. Number two and three were that tied in the top three diets was the DASH diet and also the flexitarian diet. Basically, the DASH diet, for myself, I've heard that quite a lot in research. So it's a highly researched diet that emphasises fruits, veggies, whole grains, lean protein, low-fat dairy, etc. Basically, this one was brought up. It's a low-sodium diet, so it's really good for people with high blood pressure and overweight, etc. So, and again, it's not a strict approach. It's an eating pattern. And then the flexitarian diet merges the words flexible and vegetarian. So lots of veggies in there. So those are the top three diets that have been shown to be most successful for people long term and provide good nutritional value.
I guess then the success really does depend on how flexible you can be with it rather than forcing yourself to stick to something which probably isn't that enjoyable.
Yeah, so the things that those diets have in common are that, like I said, they're not a meal plan or a meal replacement. You can pick out the things that you enjoy eating out of them. They focus on eating wholesome foods, low in processed and low in packaged foods. And again, they encourage that physical activity. So yeah, there's that flexibility around it, which means that you can stick to it long term.
Well, it sounds good. And I'm sure there's not going to be a lot of complaints if anyone wants to switch over to a more Mediterranean diet either, because that's a good way to live.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jordan.
That's Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist on your Classic It's Breakfast.